Sometimes you feel like you need to be right.
But you realize what would feel best is to let yourself be wrong.
This is the Wayward Podcast. Hello, Kim Rhodes.
Hello, Brianna Buckmaster.
Hello, very special guests. Today we have joining us Meg Donnelly, Drake Roger, two of the biggest stars in Hollywood right now. We're so lucky to have them. We flew them in on our helicopters.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're so tired.
Yeah.
Dripped in golden diamonds. You just can't see right now.
If you ask my child, yes, they are the largest stars in Hollywood.
Absolutely.
Quite frankly, yeah.
If you ask any child.
If you ask any child.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, it's fair. It's fair.
Thanks so much for joining us, you guys.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Such a delight.
We are in Nashville.
That's right.
And on a stage. And today we are here to discuss times in your life that you might have been on a soapbox or a high horse or a moral high ground and then discovered you were wrong. And what did you do?
So, Kim, why did this topic jump out at you? Other than the thing that I know you're going to talk to, in a general sense, was there like a feeling where you're like, no, this has happened to me more than once?
I think consistently. I think that I am very guilty of thinking because I have feelings about something that makes it about me, and I have the right to share my opinion in a way that influences others. And I have discovered that's not actually true. That unless someone asks for my advice, or I have personal experience that hopefully involves a solution, I should probably keep my mouth shut. Mm-hmm. Because my feelings don't anoint me with being right. And I think that I personally identify on the more liberal scale of politics. And I think one of the things that I will do is I will have feelings about something and I will want to solve the problem. And so I've decided that the problem needs to be solved this way because of this, because of my feelings, because it would feel good for this to happen. And I'm not a fucking economist. I'm not an urban engineer.
You are a scientist.
I am a scientist.
We've already decided that.
We've decided this podcast. I'm a fucking scientist. Yeah, I'm a scientist. And that doesn't mean that I actually know shit. So, yeah, do you want specifics?
No, I was just curious because, you know, when we're doing the live show, we ask the audience yes, no questions. And then we answer yes, no questions. And then we put the ones aside that resonate with us. And this one, you right away, it resonated with you. And I was just thinking about the other options. And I was like, oh, you know. I wonder what made you think that, not to be like, what were the times you were wrong,
what
Kim?
Well, this is,
but
okay.
I do have examples, but they're not small. They're just like momentarily, I guess.
Well, we had, what it came up with, it was talking about Meg and Drake and saying, what's important to us on this podcast is that we talk from our experience. And, something I've learned is that women like me often express authority over situations that don't actually impact them. And we can say we're doing it on behalf of, and sometimes we are, but to be a true ally, I need to make sure that the other person's experience is what's motivating me, not my feelings. Does that make sense? But this is an old Gen X thing where we are really like, rawr, I'm standing up for people who da da da. It's like, are you? Have you talked to any of those people? Is this what is helping them? Are you being helpful right now, or are you just making a statement to fucking feel good? And that's where I am big on, like, I will make a morally superior statement. And then somebody else will be like, that's actually not fucking helpful, Kim. I did that with autism. Before I knew I was autistic, I knew my daughter was autistic, And I went on Twitter and I did the whole autism speaks, light it up blue. And I had a bunch of autistic people go, whoa, what the fuck? And I was like, oh, I was so hurt and offended. I was like, I love my daughter and I accept her for who she is. And they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. We are autistic people. We are telling you about our experience. Your child is not your experience. And so I listened to them and was able to be like, oh, the things I'm doing are actually hurting the people I say I'm standing up for. So I don't do it anymore. So that was mine. What do you have experiences from a more socially aware generation of moments that you might have been like, this is right. Oh, I might be wrong.
I honestly, I feel like most everything in my life, like it's one of the reasons that I think the idea of cancel culture really scares me is who I was when I was 16 and who I am, you know, what, 8 years later are drastically different people who believe drastically different things. And I think to what you're saying, like, while you might have been quote unquote wrong for expressing an opinion over something that you didn't have like direct relationship at the time with or didn't know that you had direct relationship at the time at, I don't think that we should throw the baby out with the bathwater in the sense that like, what was your intention in doing that? If your intention was self-glorification, and it's like a lot of what I'm seeing now with everything political is a bunch of people posting shit on Instagram to make themselves feel good. And it's like, that's not your intention is look at me, I have something to say, like my name's Drake Roger, I have a platform, I need to say something. It's like, that's not a good reason to say something. Like, do you have something to say on the matter? And is it an informed thing to say? And why are you the person to say it? So I don't know if I have like specific examples to bring up, but I truly believe that most everything that I am today, I wasn't in 2016. And I think adding to what you said, I think in those communities too, people need to exercise grace. And I think that's something that in our social generation, while we may, you know, have feelings about everything, I really think that we've lost that nuance of grace and how we conversate and forgiveness and understand that, like, look, it is totally fine for you to have an opinion. I think it's okay for you to share that opinion. It's just before you do, asking why you're doing it and what your intention behind it is.
So that's a...
I love that. And I definitely relate to the idea of, like, fuck, I mean, if social media was around when I was in high school, I'd be fucked.
So many people would have pictures of my tits.
Oh my God. Nobody. All you would have is me playing with my makeup in my bedroom. I'd be another one of those. But what I like about this generation, yes, I do not love cancel culture, but I do love accountability culture. And I do appreciate that. I also get a little terrified because there are people, like you're saying, that are quick to feel power over somebody else by feeling like they can push a button and exterminate someone's career, livelihood, all of that. I do not believe in that because it does take away, as you're saying, from the connection of humans. And I think on both sides that gets lost. I'm going to speak of a personal experience. There's a couple personal experiences. I won't get into specifics, but where I got defensive, this was years and years ago, where I got called out about something, and I was like, nuh-uh. And it was because the person who was calling me out was not a good person and was trying to become famous off of calling a bunch of people out. So then I, very eloquently, went, well, here are some facts. And then the reality was is that when I sat back, I was like, I'm being defensive. It's not that it's not true or that it is true. It's that this person had an experience and I feel like they don't get to have that experience because I'm offended or whatever it was. So then when I sat back, I was like, I think both can be true. And what's missing is the communication between two people going, hi, I'm so-and-so. When you did this, it made me feel this. Instead, they're airing it out. This was not an unsafe situation. I think that there are situations where the law needs to get involved, for sure. And then another situation was when you and I did that podcast, and we've talked about this at the PJ party. We did a podcast after the Queen died. And remember, and I was like, I just can't. People are like, God, you know, she can burn in hell and all of these really very big feelings. And I was like, why are people, like a woman just died and a woman who was in a man's role was doing all these things. And, you know, she had a job that was not made for her and she did it anyway. She put up with so much. Anyway, I was saying all these things that were my understanding of the monarchy. And then I talked to my husband, who's very educated about colonization, and he explained to me very, in very clear terms why people are upset, and it has to do with oppression. He's like, when oppressed people, when an oppressor falls, the oppressed people will celebrate. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. Okay, so then we ended up cutting that from the podcast, which we won't cut this, so you all know that now. And I remember somebody asking why we cut it. And I said, because I was educated and therefore changed my mind. And I think if more people can be on their soapbox and have somebody go, you know what? It's probably pretty lonely up there. Do you want to come down and we can just talk things through? Then maybe there would be a little less division. You know what? Division's going to happen. I'm not saying that people shouldn't have divisive opinions about things, but I'm just saying, like, the power that you actually can feel in going, you know what? I fucked up. That was wrong. My bad. How can I fix this? Is so immense. And I don't know what the thing we need to do is to go, guys, just fucking hash it out, because emotions get involved. Anger, grief, fear, all of these things are very, will stabilize people, will stabilize communities. But I don't have the answer. I'm just saying that those were my experiences.
Meg?
Yeah. I think, at least for me, I feel like I always have these really bad intrusive thoughts that I'm like this terrible person kind of thing. Yeah. So I think a lot of times, like in the past, like I would get like defensive, or in my mind, I'm like, this can't be true, because if so, then that means I'm a terrible person kind of thing. But that's obviously not true. And you can mess up and, you know, wrong somebody and ask for forgiveness, and that doesn't make you a bad person. But I think that was always like my biggest fear. And so even like you were saying with your husband, like I think it's also about communication too. Because if you have somebody in your life, like close friends, that can hold you accountable and do it in not a way of like, ah! And then you're not going to be like, I feel like, because when it comes out like that, then you're automatically like, oh my God, no, like, nah, and you throw it back. But if it's just kind of an like calm energy of like, hey, you kind of fucked up, LOL, then it's like, okay, like I can, like, you can have a conversation about it and realize it's definitely like the energy that's kind of taken as well.
That's brilliant. And to piggyback on that, I recognize that it is not somebody else's job to explain things to me gently. That is also my privilege, and being like, okay, but be nice when you say it. Do you know what I mean? Like, nobody needs to do that. I need to be a big girl, put my big girl pants on, and just fucking learn, even if it's scary.
So here's my next question to bounce off of that. And I'm gonna go to you next, dear Drake. Because you said that you clearly have learned a lot. So what do you think inspires you to be teachable, and how do you think you best learn? Because that's the other thing that I think is interesting about this topic, is what inspires someone to change their mind when they are committed to an idea?
I know a major shift in my life happened with my first ever relationship. And I remember I think I was 16, 17 years old, and I'd never been in one before. And towards the end of our relationship, I, as every like 17-year-old does, you think, oh my God, we're gonna get married. Like, this is the only person I'm ever gonna be with. And you had all those thoughts.
Meg is right here.
I know. she's had to accept
like,
it.
What? Shocked and appalled too. Yes. What? I wasn't your first everything.
Yeah, you. And so anyway, you spiral, and I like started to be like, oh well, shit. I need to start tanking this relationship so that way I can have like, I thought I was gonna be 17 and gonna be a dad at like 20. You know, I was like, this is going way too fast. So I started like, well, let me just stop. And I know this is wrong now, but that's I was okay. Like, let me.
Let sabotaged
me,
it a bit.
Let me get her to fall out of love with me.
Sure.
Oh, and that's so common, babe.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
You don't have to be young common. To do yes. that. No.
Old people do that shit yeah. too, boy.
But what I wasn't understanding was that my actions in like complimenting her less or telling her that she's less beautiful or spending less time, I didn't realize that she wasn't gonna perceiving that as like, oh, he wants me to like take a step back because I wasn't communicating. So anyway, she just ended up having like, we ended up breaking up, and I talked to her like 8 months later, and it was a bad breakup, and we had met, we'd had a conversation, and she was like, I just want you to know, like I thought this was like in my 17-year-old brain, I was like, oh, like, cool, we're gonna hang out, like everything's gonna be chill, like we both had time to process this, and we sat down, and she was like, I'm not here for you, I'm here to let you know that I went through 7 months of like therapy because of you, and I just like never, ever, like I wasn't a big crier when I was a kid, I just started sobbing. And it was like the first time that I realized like everything that you do in life has an equal and opposite reaction. And I think truth is a lot like that. But that was the first moment that I realized like what I do impacts people around me and can fuck their entire lives up. And so that was my inspiration for like, I was like, I promised myself at that point, I was like, I will never hurt my partner again. And that's kind of where things started for me. So for me, it was failing, and it was hurting somebody, and it was screwing up that I like decided I don't want to feel that anymore, and I don't want people to feel that from me. So that's why I'm saying like I'm fucking thankful I didn't do something that got me canceled, and then I had no opportunity to redeem myself or to grow from that. So,
but what you did is you held yourself accountable, which you have to know is very rare, not just with men but with people. Like I didn't do that when I was your like that age, 17. Like I would have been defensive. I would have been all these things. Now it's different. Like the gender stuff is different, you know, especially in a relationship. If someone wants to withdraw and someone doesn't, that's also a power thing. But holding yourself accountable, I do think it is the sleeper hit of self-empowerment. I do think everybody wants to be the one that like appears strong, but as we've learned from our friend Brené Brown, vulnerability is a superpower. So the more vulnerable I think you can be towards other people and yourself, I think is powerful. Kim. Mm.
So I'm hearing something really interesting that we were talking about earlier, which is intention versus consequences. And often I live in a place of both being an empowered individual. I am a middle-class, middle-aged white woman, but I am also a fucking woman. And so I experience both sides of this, where I am very used to someone else's intention defining my experience. Well, I didn't mean to make you uncomfortable. Well, why can't you take a joke? Well, And so I think we swing into the opposite side where now my experience, fuck your intention, fuck it. And so when you said grace, but also the fact that you validated your intention, you knew your intention was good, you were doing the best you could, but the outcome wasn't your intention. And that's how people taught me too. They said your actions are not consistent with who you say you want to be. I was like, oh, how do I act in a way that is more consistent with my intentions? How do you think you learn? Because you're coming at it from the opposite, where your first voice will be, I'm wrong, and my experience is actually invalid. Mm-hmm. So I must have a bad intention. Mm-hmm. And so how do you learn to be compassionate to yourself and change your mind about that aspect of your belief system?
Right.
I mean, just a tiny little question.
No, I know.
They tend to be.
No, yeah, it's definitely interesting. I feel like, yeah, my first reaction and like everything is kind of like I'm doing something wrong or something is weird. Also, like I feel like I put a lot of people's opinions of me over my own self. So that's like, so I feel like that's a whole journey. Like in the past year, I feel like honestly, since I've met Drake, that I've been working on that. No, he's actually like unreal with like accountability and vulnerability. And
do you want to take a quick bow, Drake?
Yes,
go ahead. Drake Roger, everyone. Thank you. We appreciate, we can sense that in you. You are definitely an evolved man and we appreciate that.
Especially communication, because I feel like, up until the past year, I had a hard time communicating a lot of things just in conversation or with business or with anything, because I always, you know, feel small, especially as a woman. It's really hard sometimes to like speak up for yourself. Or you always are getting talked over a little bit.
Or convinced that you're wrong.
I'm wrong. Yeah.
So what I'm saying, what I want to suggest, pardon the interruption, is that your thoughts about yourself and your feelings are not original to you. They were perhaps placed upon you to keep you feeling small, right? Mm-hmm. That is oppression as a woman, young woman especially. A young, successful woman.
Yeah.
A young, successful, beautiful woman.
Drake Roger, everyone. Drake Roger, everyone.
That's so funny. No, and I think it's really interesting too when you're constantly like, it's like a weird cycle that I'm trying to break out of where I think I'm wrong, but it's also okay to be wrong. So I'm like, okay, it's fine to be wrong, but then I'm like, wait, that's proving that I'm wrong. But then I'm like, okay, I don't want to like victimize myself, because that's a bad habit to get into all the time too. If I'm always just like, oh, like I'm the victim in the situation, but it's okay not to be. It's a lot of conflicting thoughts.
There's a lot of
I think, yeah, just, I think what we've been saying is like flipping the switch of like holding yourself accountable is okay. And that's the only way you're going to learn. Because I feel like even this whole year, I've always just been like, oh, well, I want to be this person. I want to grow and I want to whatever. And your actions have to, it's like one thing talking about it, but you know, it's like the saying, like actions speak louder than words. So I think that's definitely like really true.
Well, and your actions speak to yourself first and foremost, right? Like if I am going to be the person I want to be, then I need to have compassion for I need to give myself that grace. I need to give myself a grace to acknowledge that this is my experience. It's valid. But also, I'm not, like, I have recently tried to reframe right and wrong and just say I'm learning and I'm expanding. Mm-hmm. And sometimes lessons are uncomfortable. Sometimes I wish I hadn't. But, like, how else am I going to get where I need to be if I don't acknowledge where I'm starting from? And so that idea of, like, yeah, my actions, I need to act in a way that sends my own heart the message that I am compassionate, I validate my own experience, and I have a great deal of belief in your ability to learn and do better next time.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And also even just situations with people in your life, like if there's a falling out or something and maybe you did something wrong, and you talk about it and communicate your feelings and all of that, I think time is also a really important thing. Like we've been talking about, I mean, even your situation was when you were like 17 and all that time goes by and those relationships mend and you might not like be friends with that person anymore, but you will be cordial because like time really does like heal a lot and it can help heal yourself. And yeah, so I think that's important.
That's all. That's perfect. And this is a phrase that I use often and we love it. We talk about it in panel is that the more you can practice the skill of refusing to outsource your worth and only resourcing yourself, you will start to learn to not to look elsewhere for the rights and the wrongs and the validation and the worthiness. And you will go, I'm fucking perfect sitting here doing anything I want. As long as I'm not, and we talked about this a couple weeks back, as long as you're not actively physically hurting someone, you get to do whatever you want. You get to fuck up as much as you want. We're human. We are allowed to make mistakes. It's important to make mistakes, right? And that's why I think, like, I don't think it's a bad thing to be like, I was on my soapbox
and then realized I was wrong, I think it's kind of a beautiful way to move through this life.
Well, it's certainly a very loving to yourself way, right? Of just, because that's ultimately what, for me, to ask myself, how do I best learn? Well, I have to look at my intentions and recognize, where is the love? Is sitting on this belief and insisting I'm right loving, or is it fear-based? Is changing my mind and adapting to a new way of thought loving, or is it because I'm afraid of some? And it's going to be different in every situation, but ultimately, if I am honest with myself, if I give myself grace to have the experience, I can find the love and adapt and keep learning, as opposed to fucking needing to be right.
And really, throughout this life, we should just constantly be learning. I used to say, I love a note. I love when somebody goes, you know what? I didn't like it when you did that, because I would much rather somebody did that than like talk behind my back and suddenly there's these opinions being made about me when I was like, I just fucked up. I didn't know. Tell me, and then I'll know. I feel like it makes the world feel so much more open to me. Rather than living in a bubble of my rightness, that makes me feel like I got nowhere to go. But when I learn and I go, okay, I've learned that this person likes this, or this person doesn't like this, or this society, or this group, you know, it makes me feel like I can go anywhere. You know what I mean? I have a universal passport to the world.
Freedom! Yay!
Hey. That is the weird thing about like social media, though, because it feels like a very small bubble.
Yes,
I feel like.
That is why social media is the worst.
I know. I also feel like, I feel like, I don't know if like the younger generation agrees either, but I'm only like,
I feel, hold on. You just said the younger generation. You mean younger than you?
Yes. Oh, my age and younger,
oh,
I guess.
Oh, God.
But I feel like, and yeah, maybe.
I feel like there's nobody younger than you. You're the youngest, and that's great. We found them. That's
you're
fine.
Stubborn. There's no generation back. But no.
I feel like because of social media and like everything, because it used to be like only people, you know, like celebrities and like the, you know, before social media, like they would be in the limelight all the time. But I feel like everybody has their own individual limelight, like because everything's being posted.
Everyone's the main character.
Memories and yeah, but it's like. It's really interesting because I, you know, I'm only 23, but I feel so old. And it's so weird. No, I know, I know.
I need a cocktail.
I don't mean to like.
Meg, your experience is valid.
Thank you.
You're absolutely right. And I understand what you're saying.
But, yeah, no, I just feel like because I have so much more life to live. But I feel like because I think a lot of it has to do with social media. Like I'm seeing so many people's lives like. All the time that I'm just so desensitized to a lot of
and
things.
You've also learned a lot of things. Like I didn't start learning about the world until, you know, my late 30s, I suppose. I just only learned from my experience. But
I
now
know.
People have an opportunity to learn about
we
the world.
We know everything that's happening
scary.
All the time. Yes. And so, you just feel like you know way too much and you're just like, ah. So, yeah.
Like it was already mentioned, that also opens up learning early, making early choices, and being able to like decide earlier in your life than I did that maybe it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
Like I get to be right or wrong. I get to be on or off, and I get to give myself the grace. And when other people are responding to that, they're choosing their fear or love. Mm-hmm. That's on them. Even when I get canceled, I have to take a deep breath and go, huh? You have the right to respond to my actions, I guess. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
And it's the beauty painful, of this world is that we can decide. It's like when I tell Valentina, I'm like, when you're old enough, you can use swear words. That's fine. But you have to understand that with your words, with your actions, come consequences. So then you get to decide if you want to deal with those consequences or not. And that's really what accountability means. Mm-hmm. It's not about being canceled. Cancel is like just a buzzword that we use now because everybody's uncomfortable with accountability. And so people are using it wrong, you know? Mm-hmm. But we all need to be held accountable. Everybody, all of us, forever. It's a big fucking world. There's a lot of people on it. We all need to get along. So we have to be accountable for our actions.
Mm-hmm. Go team.
Go team.
And how we learn.
Yeah.
Yay.
We
do it.
We did it. We solved the world. Thanks,
did we solve
science.
The world problems? is there anything you'd like to add before we solve the world problems? Anything that came up? that you'd like to contribute?
Addition? You feel like we solved the world?
Yeah, I think we're all better off in this conversation.
Wonderful. I agree.
Yeah, I feel good about that. Well, thank you.
Thank
so
you so much,
Megan.
Yeah,
thank you for joining us. We'll get Frank you back here again.
Yeah,
get
that was
100%.
Get the smart kids.
I love you, Kim.
I love you, Brianna. And this question came from Ashley. Thank you, Ashley.